Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. All right, so we're in 1 Peter 3:8, and it says, "And finally, be of one mind, sympathetic, loving the brothers, tender-hearted, friendly, not giving back evil for evil, reviling against reviling, but on the contrary, give blessing, knowing that you were called to this in order that you might inherit blessing." All right, so there's a really powerful truth here for believers. Remember, everything God tells us to do, He knows we can't do it in our own strength, and it be real, okay? So God's not just giving us an outline of how to act. He's saying, when he writes these letters through these apostles, he's saying, if you want to say yes to the Holy Spirit in you, this is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to look like. And I think we just need to quit trying to do it and begin to ask God to help us to do it. Amen. Right. Ask God to give you a heart for how hard things are. Amen. Life is rough. I don't understand. I said this at the Christmas event, and I told everybody there, I said, if someone here doesn't know the Lord, could you come and just tell me how you get through life? I would despise life without Christ. The fear of it, the wondering how things, you know, just what seems unfair sometimes, is everything about it. And then when you see people with problems and sickness and disease and children sick, it's like, gosh, how does anybody get through this without this awesome relationship with God? He wants us to be compassionate, loving the brothers. And he's really talking about believers here. We need to get to a place to get rid of all the envy, all the mess, all the comparisons, and just say, Lord, help me to love my brothers in the Lord. You know, because the enemy's attacked family so much, and there's so much family issues between siblings, it's the enemy's way of trying to make sure that we don't understand what brotherly love looks like. Now, if you have a really close relationship with a brother or a sister, then you can have a greater understanding of what God is saying here. Look, I want brotherly kind of love. I want the kind of love that you have with a brother or a sister. A lot of people don't. I mean, Don and I have a really, really close relationship. You just wouldn't believe, we're on the phone half the day, we vacuum the house. I mean, we're hilarious. And then we still come in, you think we hadn't seen each other for a year, and we can hang out all the time. And then if she acts goofy or I act goofy, we just get over it, and it never becomes a big deal. I'm close to my other brothers and sisters somewhat, but when I look at these scriptures about brotherly love, I really think of, Lord, you want me to have that kind of close relationship with everyone born again of your spirit. It's one of the biggest weapons the enemy uses to try to make our hearts not tender. Rejection. What are you going to do if you're rejected? What are you going to do if you're rejected? God say, keep your heart tender. What does it mean to keep your heart tender? It means don't be led by what the enemy's doing and don't let him get into your personality and your character. You treat it as if the enemy had never attacked you there. You hang on to compassion. You hang on to love. You hang on to believing the best about people. Amen? You hang on to hope. You hang on to faith. And you just trust that God is bigger than whatever's going on. Amen? Be tender-hearted. Don't let your heart get hard. What are some things that harden your heart? Because I know a lot of people come in here with hard hearts. It's the independent spirit. I don't need anybody. This isn't going to get to me, or I can handle it myself, or who cares? You know, it's like this thing where you take on this thing to handle not being hurt. How about we just hurt and let God heal it? Whoa. How about if we just hurt and let the comforter heal it? I feel the Holy Spirit wants to come in right now, and I think he wants to touch hurt places that have hardened you or is trying to harden you. And here's the problem with hardening our hearts. When we harden our hearts, it's against God. I don't need them. I don't need this. God, and you stay this hard person that people can't see Christ in. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so how many people know everything about this is God has to do it and we can't figure it out?
Amen.
So Holy Spirit, we just open our hearts right now. Lord, every place that rejection or hurt, disappointment, every place that has caused hardness, abuse, every place, Lord, that we hardened our heart, Lord, we come before you according to your word, and we ask, God, that you would make our hearts tender. We ask that you would make our hearts tender again, and Lord, that we would refuse, we would refuse in the name of Jesus to let our hearts harden, to let the enemy's lies in, let his characterization in, let his way of handling things in. Lord, we just break it off now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we forgive every person who's hurt us, and we forgive ourselves. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Whoa. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to make our hearts tender again. And Lord, we break off lies that we've said, like no one can hurt me or that doesn't matter. Lord, we just break those off. Help people to see that and get free from it in Jesus' name. Amen. God wants us to be broken before him. That's how we handle rejection. That's how we handle when something comes at us, the enemy wants us to harden our hearts, and God wants us to stay tenderhearted. It literally takes going to God and asking him to help you stay tenderhearted. Amen? It actually takes going to God and asking him that. The floor is so hard to stand on for that long. So Lord, I want you to help my heart be tender. I don't want to be hard-hearted against you. I don't want to blame you for what the enemy's done. I don't want this anger to get back in my heart from my childhood. I don't want what that person said or that rejection. I'm not going to focus there. I'm not going to protect myself. I'm not going to protect myself. I'm not going to protect myself. I'm going to trust you to protect me. I'm not going to use manipulation. I'm not going to use false sympathy. Lord, I just want this to be real. Amen. I just want this to be real, and I just want you to walk me through it. Amen. I want to stay tenderhearted. I want to be friendly. It says, finally, be of one mind, sympathetic, loving the brothers, tenderhearted, friendly. We are going into the holiday seasons while we're doing this. We need to keep our friendly. Amen. I was friendly when I was buying some Christmas gifts right before I got here. I have been friendly everywhere I have gone. Sometimes you have to decide that you're going to let Holy Spirit shine through you no matter how long the line is. I let somebody get in front of me in line because I had a bigger order than them. I'm going to remain friendly. Amen? I'm going to remain friendly. I'm not going to fake it. If it's in his word, it's got to be real. Lord, I want to be a friendly person. I want to be friends with people. If you have no friends, it's because you're not friendly. If you have more friends than you want, you are friendly. Amen? Oh, I don't know if I have enough friends. Well, then just be friendly. Some of you are more friendly than you even give yourself credit for. Friendly doesn't mean a different personality. It doesn't mean talkative. It doesn't mean, friendly means friendly. Someone who people can befriend. Someone who's not self-focused. Someone who's not only about themselves. Someone who's friendly is someone who listens, someone who's fun, someone who can, friendly. Somebody who you want to be a friend to. Become someone that people wants to be a friend to. Say, Holy Spirit, help me with this. He didn't say change your personality. Help me to be friend. Part of it is get rid of the walls. Get rid of the pretense. Get rid of rejection. And quit being so busy that you don't have time to be friendly. And then wonder why you're lonely and you have no friends. You're lonely and you have no friends because you won't step out of your comfort zone, which is hiding. To be fair. Sometimes if we're afraid of rejection, we won't ask anybody, hey, do you want to go to lunch? Why? Because what if they reject? What? They're allowed to say no. They don't feel like going to lunch right now, and it's not a rejection. It's just an answer. Amen? You can say no. You don't even have to have a reason. That's not a rejection. It's just your answer. I don't know. God's getting on this tonight. I need us to put this in our thinking. No is not a rejection. It can just be someone's answer. I feel like God is, I know this is elementary, but it's spiritual. It's got to break through. Some people won't be friendly because they're so afraid of somebody rejecting them. So they don't even try. They don't even try to plan something at their house. They don't even try to be hospitable. They don't even try to ask somebody to go out to lunch. They don't even try because they don't want somebody to say no. So what happens if you never invite somebody to lunch or whatever? Guess what? The very same thing that happens when they say no, which is means they're not going with you, is going to happen every time because you're not asking. Amen? Amen. So what are you really afraid? Are you just afraid that people are allowed to say no? And you need to get healed if you're afraid for people to say no. And you need to be healed if you're someone who can't say no. Amen? I have no problem saying no, and I have no problem saying yes, and I have no problem deciding which I want to do, and I have no problem not being in a bondage situation that some people try to call friendship. If somebody else has a hard time, and I've walked this through with friends, where, good gosh, any time you said no, they took it so personal. And then it becomes manipulation. You have to say yes, or you've hurt my feelings. You don't have to say yes to hurt my feelings. I'm not playing that. Can I just help everybody get free? Don't play games. Just don't play games. Get free enough yourself to be able to say no if you want to say no and recognize I'm saying no because I just don't feel led. Don't hyper-spiritualize it. I'm saying no and God's not telling me that I have to. Or I really just want to go sit home. I just want to go home and sit down. Amen? But don't then get in a pattern of saying no to just not even think. Maybe this is something God wants me to do. Maybe I do need to develop a friendship here that God's going to bless. Amen? I know this all seems kind of elementary, but for some reason I feel it in the spirit that God's trying to bust people through, whether it's here or somebody's going to hear this. It says, do not give back evil for evil, reviling against reviling. And it's funny because he's talked about the same thing in 1 Peter 2. But on the contrary, give blessing, though knowing that you were called to this in order that you might inherit blessing. How many want to inherit blessing? Blessing is prosperity, it's health, it's all the blessings of God, it's all the promises of God. It's more than just, you know, say a nice thing to me. Okay, blessings is living in this place where God's blessed kind of life is all around you. How many want to inherit blessings? So he's telling us here, to inherit blessings, you have to be someone with a heart to bless others. You have to be someone with a generous heart that recognizes, I need to be a blessing here. You know, this person needs, I need to bless them. Lord, how can I bless them? Help me become generous. Help me to bless. Let me say something. Blessing somebody as manipulation is not blessing them. Amen. That's the thing about the word. You can't do this without the right heart or it's manipulation. So you have to say, Lord, make my heart right. Lord, I want to be a person who blesses because you're a God that blesses. I want to be a person who has all these things you're talking about here in 1 Peter 3. So help me to be a blessing. And Lord, if someone is evil towards me, I'm not to be evil back. So if evil's coming at me, God doesn't want me to take evil into me to let evil out of me. Amen? Right. At the same time, if somebody's being evil to me and there's evil in me, God wants me to recognize it and hate it and get rid of it. Amen? Amen. So he doesn't want us giving back evil. He doesn't want us reviling or screaming or yelling or arguing. But on the contrary, he says, I want you to give a blessing, and you're going to hear the blessing. And right here, he's specifically saying, when somebody's being evil towards you and reviling and screaming against you, bless them. Bless them. Now, he does this spiritual principle more than once in Scripture. Amen? He means this. The way to get above what the enemy is doing is do what God does. So if somebody is trying to come against you or speak evil about you, then bless them. Let's say you know somebody, and you really know this, you're not just paranoid or something, but you know somebody said something not nice about you to somebody else. Call somebody and say something nice about that person. That's the opposite of what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to get on the phone and talk trash about that person. Can you believe they said that? Can you believe they did that? And God's like, bless them. We're to give blessing. It says, on the contrary, make this a new habit. It'll kill your flesh. It'll keep the evil out. And as you begin to walk into it, the anointing will come on it. And what does this do? It destroys the flesh. Amen? It destroys the flesh. This is such a good message with everybody going around family this weekend or next weekend. Amen? This is really good when some people are going to be left out of things and some people are going to be talked about. And the enemy's going to... Can I just say this? Whatever situation you find yourself in, wouldn't it be awesome to get an A on this test? Wouldn't it be awesome to not let the devil win for God's glory? So if the enemy wants you depressed, be happy. I mean, go out of your way to find things to do to make this the best Christmas ever, not the worst. I mean, it's like, go and claim this thing from the enemy. Enemy, you can't have this Christmas. You can't have, I see the circumstances. I know where I fell into it, everything else. You can't have it. Lord, show me what to do and how to do it to make this one of the most exciting, memorable Christmases I've ever had. And Lord, just take my thinking out of being upset with somebody and cursing somebody and blaming somebody and let me bless them. Let me buy them the biggest Christmas present I've ever bought them. They're going to think you're trying to manipulate them. Who cares what they think? I'm going to do what I feel led by God to do, and I know why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I'm not letting the devil dictate to me what I can and can't do. I'm not letting the devil dictate to me. Well, I remember when Lauren died, and that first Christmas was really, should have been tough, right? And so Lauren had a dog collection, everybody knows, and she had a really big dog collection. And the enemy spoke so loud in my thinking. I was sitting there looking at her, you can't buy dolls anymore. Well, I just went ahead and bought a doll. I asked John to get me a doll for Christmas. The doll I got was an interracial, part Asian, part Caucasian doll, which is pretty cool with, if you look at what's happened in this ministry as far as so many interracial people come to the ministry, but also going to the Philly. God's too cool. And so, but then I also decided I was going to start buying a doll for some little girl who wouldn't normally get a doll, like a nice doll, an expensive doll. So I stood right there while the devil's saying, you don't need to buy dolls anymore. You have no reason. I'm like, shut up, devil. Get under my feet in Jesus' name. I'm going to buy a doll now for somebody who wouldn't normally get a doll. And then when we've gone overseas and we've given out dolls, and it's not like I didn't make a ministry of it. Some people can. It was just getting past that one day of the enemy trying to destroy me and saying what I couldn't do. Amen? I had a Christmas tree that year. I had food that year. I have decided Satan's not stealing anything else from me. Amen? And you just have to ask God for the grace to do it. Do not let the enemy and what he's doing order your steps. Let God order your steps. If the enemy wants you to curse, if the enemy wants you to be angry, if he wants you to shout, talk ugly about, God says, bless. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. And don't get bent if somebody starts questioning your motives. You know, I love that I don't care what you think my motives are. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You just have your good old time trying to figure things out. You go for it. You and God have a good time there. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, no matter what. Here's how you approach everything. You never approach everything according to what the enemy's done. You approach everything according to what God would have you do had the enemy not been doing what he was doing. And sometimes if you want to bless to break the power of what the enemy's up to, amen, you do it even bigger. Well, what if I get rejected? We already talked about that. We don't harden our hearts. So I'm not trying that again. We're just straight out. Holy Spirit, that didn't go over real well. I still did it because I did it for the right reason. I did it to stop what the enemy was up to stop letting him order my steps. God, I ask you to heal that part of me that the enemy tried to get rejected right now. And you live in this, people. You live in this. Amen? You get what I'm saying? Don't let the enemy order your steps because he's ordering somebody else's steps. I'll get a great example. I was in the store. It took every bit of Holy Spirit gagging my mouth for me not to say something. I was standing in line at one of the department stores. And this woman behind me, I just pray, Lord, don't let me become an old, grumpy, unfriendly, gripey person. Because the fruit in your old age really catches up with you if you're not really living a real life with God. And truthfully, it seems like when the older people get, I mean, when they start getting old like me, they either get really mean and nasty, or they're all of a sudden they're very kind and loving and friendly. I want to be that one. To where, wow, she's nicer than she's ever been, instead of, oh, they're just old and grumpy. And so this lady's in line. She is old and grumpy. She's not that old. She's probably, I don't know, she's probably in her 60s, but she's seeming like, she's like, to her husband, poor husband, he's just walking along like Ahab and Jezzy. And she's like, I can't believe such and such bought me a gift. I told her I didn't want a gift. Now I got to get her something. I got to get her something now. When I felt like turning around saying, would you please just say thank you and don't get her anything? She goes, well, as soon as Christmas, I'm going to get her Chick-fil-A card. She said, as soon as Christmas is over, I'm going to call her and tell her good. I mean it when I say I don't want any gifts. I mean it when I say I don't want any gifts. Who are you to tell somebody else if they can give you a gift? Every year, Dad doesn't need anything. I don't care if he needs anything. I know he doesn't need anything. I wouldn't mind having his checking account. I'm telling you, I'm not getting him something because he has a need. Amen? I'm getting him something because I'm a giver. I'm giving because I'm a giver. If you have an issue about getting a gift for somebody, then don't get it. Your heart's wrong anyway. They're not going to live or die based on what you get them. Amen? You give because you want to bless. You give because God wants, you don't, get rid of the, well, let me go get the junkiest thing I can so I can get something nice at the women's Christmas party. Not that anybody does that around here. Way, way back we did, right? Instead, what can I give that's going to make somebody smile? What can I give that somebody's going to light up when they get this? What can I give? Or if I'm no good at that, let me get somebody who is and let them go get something and whatever. You see what I'm saying? Our hearts have got to become hearts of giving. This is so funny. Christmas, I don't care what I get. If I want it and anybody could afford to give it to me, I probably already have it. Amen. And if it's bigger than that, my husband's already told me no. So if it takes the savings account, last year I got a yes for my spa, but this year I haven't heard yeses. But do you see what I'm saying? But so I still give it. You're not, my Christmas isn't ruined when sometimes there's not much there, because that's just not, I have everything. I understand why it's really hard to buy for me. But I like everything. And let me give another one. This is our pre-Christmas one. If you would learn to be extremely thankful and grateful for whatever anyone gives you, unless you know they're purposely just being disgusting, and then just bless them and go throw it away or whatever. But overall, if you would get a heart that you're not going to right away think, how can I take this back and get something else? And why did they get, if you would get rid of the nasty, unfriendly thinking, not that I'm talking to anybody here. Oh, we're only talking to people out there. Amen? You would be amazed how much more people would want to give you something. You would be amazed how much people would give you things. And here's the thing, you don't do it for that. Amen? I mean, I've got this taken care of. When I'm shopping and I'm generous and I'm giving, I'm buying for me too, because I know they're not going to probably want to give me that, but that looks pretty good. I called John. Can I have these boots? Cindy, I want to get you something. I know, honey, but can I have these boots? Okay. Both of my sons this year. Hey, can I have this purse? It's a great idea. I'm so happy. I got three things I would have bought for myself that now I don't have to buy. And they can still survive. Everybody has their own thing. It doesn't matter to me because I know I'm going to get what I want. Just because that's how blessed I am. But wherever you're at in it, do you understand what I'm saying? Wherever you're at in it, let me say, I won't get everything I want. I don't have a swimming pool. You know, I don't really care about, John's like, no swimming pool no matter what. I've got my hot tub. But I'm just saying, there are things, if I really tried hard, I might want, but I have a really hard time coming up with them because I've learned to be content. I've really learned to be content. And whatever I have, I make the best of it. Amen? I just make the best of it, sincerely. And so we need to become people with the right attitude. And that's what he's talking about here in 1 Peter, to be quite honest. We're looking at the holiday seasons. There's a lot of opportunity to be tested. If you even get the thought, I can't believe nobody gave me that, then something's wrong with your thought. But they didn't even say thank you. Well, did you give it to them to hear thank you? Or did you give it to them because you got excited because you want it to be a blessing? Amen? Get your motives right and you'll enjoy no matter how it turns out. Amen? Just be led of God. Lord, just show me. Don't ever order your steps based on somebody else's reaction. It can be difficult. Some people just have been hurt and they've hardened their hearts, and I don't care what you give them, they're going to first tell you why they don't like it. I figured that there's this everybody get rid of this if you have it. There's some people that I know, before they even hear what you're saying, they've already stuck out there a rejection. Well, no, I don't need that. Rah, rah. Well, if you let me finish, I was going to give you $100. It's like they don't even listen. It's like an automatic, why this won't work. If you've got that, get rid of it. Get rid of it and expect for God to bless you and for you to bless others. Just listen, I expect to be blessed. I don't demand it. I really don't care. I'm serious, I'm kidding about it, because I don't care. Because I got this awesome, blessed life in God. Amen? Nobody's gonna get into my world that God is in charge of and mess it up. Amen. It's just, nobody's going to change how I feel about my awesome God, who I am in him, and the people that he's given me into my life. Amen. Amen. These are things you got to mean, and you've got to deal with it real with God. These are not just things for up in your head. These are things for God to deal with in your heart. He wants us to be people of blessings. What a good time to preach this, right? He wants us to be, the enemy wants you to say, I'm not giving them anything else. The minute the enemy tells you that, that's a sure sign it's time to give something. Go all out. Don't let the enemy destroy. Well, what if they reject you? Who cares? People reject all the time. You don't do things believing this is going to make them accept me. You do things because out of your heart, you are a person who chooses to bless. And check when your heart begins to be hardened. Check when you start to get greedy. Check when you start to get judgmental. Check when you start letting those hurts in and they start to change the way you want to reveal Christ. Amen? And sometimes it will really take going in another room, talking to God for a few minutes, praying and getting by yourself with God. Amen? Because the enemy is going to try to find people who hurt us and reject us. Amen? And so we have to make these choices. We have to make these choices. We also have to not get so bent over this stuff. I mean, I guess I'm doing my Christmas message. A long time ago, I learned that some people are not really good gift buyers. And it doesn't mean they don't love you. It doesn't mean that they don't care. That's just not their thing. So what? Let it not be their thing and thank God for the stuff that is their thing. Amen? And you just got, especially ladies know what I'm talking about more than men, like, what? They don't want that same towel set again. No, we don't. No, people are different. And then there's some people, they're so creative. And even in your giving that way, it is part of a reflection of your personality. Okay, that's okay. I'm glad Nicole's personality likes to bake. No. Be glad mine doesn't. But do you see what I'm saying? So don't just, I think I just want to pull all this materialism kind of greedy stuff out of our hearts and tell us just to enjoy, really enjoy being givers, really enjoy blessing people, whatever that looks like, and not be self-focused, and don't let the enemy cause us to to lose our joy, to lose who we are. And if he tries to do that, amen, then we know we're going to run to God, the Comforter is going to take care of us, and we're going to bless. We're just going to bless. Amen? For the one desiring to love life, and just, now listen to this. Do you want to love life? Do you want to see good days? Yes. Okay, God's telling us here, if you desire to love your, I love my life. How many know Satan didn't want me to love my life? Sometimes I sit back and, you know, I've got all these different people on Facebook, and I've got some people who have children in serious situations with sicknesses and cancers and all these things, and they're in the hospitals, and, you know, it's just so sad. And I stop and say, I can't even believe all those years I lived part of that life. I can't believe how horrible some of the things in my life have been. But how awesome God is. Amen? And how the enemy has lost. There's such a victory when the enemy cannot win. And people, you let him win sometimes the little itsy-bitsy battles that don't add up to a hill of beans. How are you going to stand in the big battles? Amen? You have to embrace God's word. You have to not just read it with your eyes and think you know it. You've got to let it get in and hear what he's saying tonight, because he's talking about blessings. He says, do you desire to love your life? And if you can't say, oh, I love my life, somewhere you've missed it with some of this. Amen? I'm not into making New Year's resolutions or whatever, but I think you might want to write a big note to yourself. This is the year that I'm going to love my life. That's going to be my attitude. And I am a perfect example. That doesn't mean you're going to have a great year. It means you're going to have a year where you're choosing to see things through who God is. And you're choosing to see how powerful your God is. And the love of your life is going to be based on your relationship with God and nothing else. And Satan can't mess with that unless you let him. Amen? Amen. And then you'll actually understand what life is. And you can say, I'm going to love my life. If you start out knowing, I'm going to love my life, I am going to love this Christmas season. I'm going to love this. I want you to say, I'm going to love this Christmas season. I'm going to love this Christmas season. The devil doesn't want me to love this Christmas season. But who cares what he thinks? I'm going to love this Christmas season. I mean, I want some of you who the enemy's attacking the most, I want you to get out of your comfort zone and do the goofiest things to love this Christmas season that'll make everybody go, what has happened to you? Just what's happened to you? I don't know, but we're going to go do this. You never do that. I'm doing it now. Let's go. We're going to go drive around and look at lights. We're gonna go to some goofy Christmas movie. I'm going to love this season. No one's going to steal it from me. Amen? I'm going to do whatever I need to do, led by the Holy Spirit, to love this Christmas. And nobody else has to participate with me for me to love it, but I can invite them. Amen? For the one desiring to love life and to see good days, they must restrain their tongue from evil and their lips from deceit. Why? Because you basically set up your days and your life based on your words. Right? So if you are the devil and you're not, thank God, you would want to make sure that negative, evil, angry, manipulating words are coming out of people's mouths, or at least passive-aggressively coming out of their hearts. Amen? And God says, you want to see good days? You want a good life? You want to love your life? You want to see good days? Watch what you say. And let me tell you this. The Word of God says that a man speaks from what is hidden in his heart. So God's not saying how you speak from up here. He's saying what's in here. The only way for my words to be powerful, to make sure that I love my life, and see good days, is when my heart is right with God and I see things God's way. And therefore, when I speak, I release the power of God into the situations for me to love my life and to see good days. And every time they want, I know I'm an example of that. The devil, he will try to punch you out and leave you laying there dead, just bleeding. And he would love to do it over the holidays, right? You've got to get your heart right with God so he can't even hit you. You've got to decide that I'm going to do this thing based on who God is, not based on my circumstances. I'm going to celebrate based on who God is. I'm going to live my life based on who God is. God is big enough to turn what's meant for evil into good. God is big enough to heal even the things I've allowed the enemy to use me to destroy. Amen? And no matter how he does it, that's him. That's his job. I'm just going to trust him. I desire to love my life. I desire to see good days. I'm going to restrain my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn aside from evil. Let him do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Do y'all see how God gives us very specific things to do? And yeah, you could hear this 100 times, but are you hearing it? These are what you run to. These are the kind of scriptures. This is where life is, that you run when the enemy's attacking in these areas. And you say, I'm going to do this. Help me do this, God. Okay, I'm going to turn aside from evil. Okay, I'm not going to call and talk bad about that person. I'm not going to say, I wish I hadn't bought them that present. I'm going to turn aside from evil. I'm not going the way Satan's trying to plan my steps. Amen? I'm going to do good. Okay, I'm going to do good. I'm going to do good. The enemy wants me to do evil. I'm going to do good. I'm going to give more. I'm going to take care of things. Okay. Oh, gosh. How to help people. All right. Listen. Satan beat you down, right? So that you don't do the things that God would have you do that would reveal him. But also, So that he steals from you the being led by God, that's also going to answer a lot of your prayers. You can only put people down so long and they keep smiling and they keep on loving before people have to say, there's something wrong. that person must know God. My husband and I were in this one church, and that church kept pounding me because I believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was immature, and I had some issues, I'm sure. But they were supposed to be the leadership. And they would talk bad about me from the pulpit, and they would get people to the side and talk bad about me to my husband, all this stuff. I'm sitting there learning this. This is one of the times I learned this big time. And God's like, bless them. So I'd send happy cards, and I'd sit there and listen to the sermon, and I'd pray for them and all this stuff. And it was right before Christmas when I remember we're leaving the church, and John's like, we're not ever coming back. I'm like, what? He goes, no, I've watched them treat you so bad. They've, ever since something had happened, the Lord said, my husband's like, they talk against you from the pulpit. They pull me aside. He goes, and I just watch you. You're just being so kind, and you're volunteering, and you're helping out, and you're saying, he goes, I'm not going to have you go through this anymore. And we went to the church I'd been wanting to go to. Was I manipulating? No. Manipulation doesn't work. That's the deception part he's saying. Lord's saying, if you do this good in a way to deceive and to get your way, it's not going to work. But if you choose to do good because of who God is, then you're going to watch what I do. And you're going to have, love your life, and you're going to have good days. Amen? It's like, quit letting the devil decide everything for your life. It's a greater test. Let's say you do something kind and somebody rejects you. It's a greater opportunity for you to grow in Christ, that even in the midst of that, you still love them and you still bless them and you tell God, thank you, God, come and help me heal that. And then you bless them some more. I can't get this person to quit blessing me. You can't bless them to make them like you. You can't bless them to restore relationship. You can't bless them so your children will think you're the favorite grandparent or the favorite grandparent or the favorite parent. It can't have manipulation. There can be no strings attached. Do you get that? There's no strings attached. Whenever there's strings attached, it's manipulation. It's good doing good for guile. Do you get what I'm saying? No strings attached means I'm doing this because I love God and this is what I'm doing. You need to quit doing that. Well, I'm just going to hang out with God and do what he tells me. Don't hyper-spiritual it. I want to do it. Well, you don't have to do it. I don't have to do anything except for God makes me. Amen? Just do it. It sounds easy. It's not easy when the enemy's having you rejected. It's not, even when somebody's flesh is really getting to you. Then you really got to go and die to self to even be able to do this. Amen? You've really got to go. Here's the key, though, people. Here's the key. There can be no strings attached. The minute strings are attached, you are actually doing what you're doing out of, somebody tell me how to say this, G-U-I-L-E. Guile. Okay, that's what I think how I said it. Guile. That just means that manipulative kind of get your way. You're still involved. Turn aside from evil. Do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against any doing evil things. Do y'all get this? God said, if you would live this, no matter what they're doing, my eyes are on you. I'm hearing your prayers. I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm going to bless you. Do y'all get this? Do you really get this? Everybody acts like they get this stuff, but I, in the church, I don't see that much, not this church, but just in general, you don't see that deeper, deeper, deeper getting it to these things. You see this surface behavior for a little bit, but not a life change that makes you more like Christ and draw really close to God. Amen? And I can't tell you how to do this except to tell you, do what he says and hang on to him while you're doing it and let him deal with the heart issues involved in it. Because if you don't let God deal with the heart issues when you're doing good, where somebody's speaking evil, then what you're doing is guile. You're trying to make them like you. You're trying to make them, you know, do what you want. No. God's not in that. God's like, just do this because of who you are in me, in Christ. Let's not worry about the enemy. Let's not focus on him. Let's not let him order your steps. Don't let him order your steps. Don't let rejection order your steps. Don't let a no order your steps. Amen? Now, I'm not going to get into that. Yes, if somebody has a right to say no, you can't invade their right to say no. Amen? I'm not talking about that kind of don't. I'm saying you let your steps be ordered by God. You choose. You choose. This moment, you choose. I am going to love my life, and I am going to see good days, and my mouth is not going, or my heart is not going to operate in evil, and I'm going to bless. I'm going to look for places to bless people. You may say, well, this Christmas, my family's gone, and there's just nothing going on there. Then bless somebody else. If you want to make sure your blessing isn't trying to be manipulation, bless somebody who cannot repay you. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, right where he wants you to be, and his ears open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against any doing evil things. So Satan wants you to do evil things so that God's face is against you. God wants you to bless no matter what's going on. See, if we could teach our kids this, they would overcome bullying so easily. I just want to jump into the pages of Facebook sometime when I read these articles and say, why doesn't the church grow up and teach our kids how to live this out? Quit making excuses for it. Quit trying to change the other people. Get in there and teach truth to our children, to our grandchildren. Amen. Get in there and help them know who they are in Christ Jesus. Don't let them speak in guile. Don't let them start to manipulate. Don't let them see, if I try to bless and do good, I'm going to get this result. Let me tell you what manipulation is. If I do this, I get this. When you start seeing that pattern in anybody, especially your children or spouse or relationship, if I do this, I get this, you're set up manipulation, right? So first get out of your own life. Just get out of your own life and then help your children learn that's not going to work. And you have to have wisdom from God. Okay, Lord, how do we do this? How do we stop this pattern? First, you better go after the generational curses and spiritual root and dig it up, amen, between you and God. And then you have to stop and see the pattern. Amen. And then when you see the pattern, you pray, Lord, give me wisdom how to stop this pattern. I always say, when somebody's trying to get attention, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's a child or a spouse or parent or whoever, if somebody's trying to get attention, you have to get in this place with the Holy Spirit where you give attention led by God when they're not trying to get it. What the enemy wants you to do is become codependent and manipulative. So you give attention, they do this, you give attention, they do this, you give attention. Or you finally get tired of it and you reject them, you're not giving them any attention. Satan doesn't care. Either one of those two things he likes. But truthfully, you got to stop saying, okay, there's really a need for attention here. God, why is there such a need for attention here? And how do we meet that need for attention? But at the same time, not blessing this guile. Amen? So I need to do a parenting thing. Or for teenagers, for anyone. Do you understand what I'm saying? For couples. Because that's how the fallen man operates. But if it's like, okay, this person needs a ton of attention because of wounded places in their past, you're going to have to find out from God how to give them this attention, but not to reward the enemy's way of setting them up to get attention. It's called needing wisdom. But you don't just say, oh, I'm not giving them any attention. I'm tired of this. No, because there obviously is a need for attention, right? That's a legit need. So go to God and find out, why is there a need for attention? Is this generational? What is this need? Now, God, how do we meet this need without feeding demonic spirits that are going to hurt them later on, right? Who is the one harming you if you become imitators of the good? But if you truly suffer because of righteousness, blessed are you. But do not fear their fear nor be disturbed. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts And always be ready to give an answer to everyone asking you the reason concerning the hope in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that while they speak against you as evildoers, they may be shamed, those falsely accusing you of your good behavior in Christ. I have lived this stuff so much on purpose so that I could help people overcome. Amen? And to hang on to God. Satan, you know, can just attack people. And God wants to turn it to good. Amen? God's like, you've got to die to the flesh. You've got to die to the flesh. He's saying, look, more than likely, if you're doing things right, nobody's going to try to harm you. But because Satan's in there, you might actually suffer because you're right where God wants you to be. But if you suffer because of being righteous, being right where God wants you to be, you're blessed. In other words, God's saying, look, if the enemy is able to hit you and you're actually right where you're supposed to be, you're walking where you're supposed to be, you're doing what you're supposed to do, it's not something that you're doing that's coming back at you. Know this, when that happens and the enemy's allowed to attack, you are blessed. Remember we said the topic tonight was how to be blessed? Woo, doesn't that fun? Amen. But the truth is, there's a real blessing there. And it's a deep thing. It's a deep thing in God. It's a revelation of God. It's seeing God's hand. And when I am persecuted for righteousness' sake, God's glory rests on me. And when somebody attacks me, and I really didn't do anything, there's no spiritual thing going on in me to set that up, I have authority to see them healed and set free. Where did that come from? The cross. Jesus did nothing. He did nothing wrong, no sin. And yet everything attacked him. And what did it give him? All authority over all evil to bring healing to all of us. How cool is that? So he says, carry your cross daily. Part of it is, look, if you get attacked and you're really not because of your own issues, anybody needs to deal with that. Then I want you to know something. You're going to have the same authority in that suffering to release blessing that I had in my suffering to release blessing. You want to do the real deal in God? You want to do the deep stuff in God? You want to see your family really changed, saved, sanctified, on fire for God? Then begin to walk this out for real and know that's what you're doing and live in that place. And be, you know, we've got to quit being surface Christians with pretended love and just going through family events and family things. And then it's sad when Christians have relatives who go to hell because they don't know how to go into this deeper place and really do this kind of warfare where you are persecuted. Everybody's so trying to make everybody like them. God's not trying to get you to get everybody to like you. He wants you to know, look, there's spiritual warfare that is so powerful. If you suffer and it's not because of you, because then you're getting to that place where Jesus walked. He says, if you suffer for righteousness, you're going to be blessed. Here's the key. Do not fear their, do not fear their intimidation. Do not fear their intimidation. I was just having this talk with somebody this week. Do not fear their intimidation. Don't be disturbed. I'm going to come over this way a second. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be disturbed. See, let me tell you, the only way to really do this when stuff is really happening is to hang out with God. That's the only way to do this. The only way to do this is say, God, give me wisdom. God, take away this fear. Why am I fearful of their intimidation? I pray this for our president. Lord, we just right now, we lift this up for our president, that he will not fear their intimidation, God. But Lord, you are moving in the situation for our nation. You are moving to keep this nation a sheep nation. You are going to do powerful things, Lord. And we just give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's like, Lord, you know, we just got to go under beyond the surface into a real place where it's heart to heart with God. Amen. And let his word just go in there and say, yeah, we can do this. He says, So he's telling you, if you begin to fear their intimidation, you begin to respond to their intimidation, if you begin to get upset and disturbed in your own person, you're going to miss what he has next. Amen? In other words, you can't live in fear and intimidation and manipulation in a place where there's no peace and have these blessings work. Amen? Which means some time with God to get this stuff real and deal with this stuff. He says, but if you know that he's going to bless you and you decide, I'm not going to fear their intimidation. I'm not going to be disturbed. I'm going to hang out with you, God. I'm going to hear you, God. I'm going to hang out with Christian people who can help me with this. He says, but here's what he wants you to do. Sanctify. What's that? Set aside the Lord God in your hearts. Make a time and a place and a real deal relationship with God as a priority of your heart, right? He says, here's how you do it, guys. Here's how you don't give back evil for evil. Here's how you overcome these attacks. Here's how you do it. You set apart your heart and give it to God. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always, how many times? Always. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone asking you a reason concerning the hope in you with meekness and fear. You've got to begin to be a person who will always tell people why you are different in handling something than somebody else. Not gossip. See, but, oh, you brag on. I don't brag on myself. I brag on who God is in me. Amen. I brag on what he's brought me through. I brag on how real he is, how real his word is, and that it's for everybody. I never, ever pretend that it's just for me. I never think that I'm special and I got through these things and handled these things because I'm special. I know that I hang on to God. I know I cling to God. I know I cling to his word. I know it's by his spirit. Amen? It's by his spirit. And I have taken these scriptures and made them life to me. I have sanctified my heart. I belong to God. My heart belongs to you, Jesus. No matter what's happening, no matter what people are saying, no matter what's coming against me, no matter what the enemy's trying to do in my marriage, whatever he's trying to do with my children, whatever he's trying to do in the church world, it doesn't matter, God. My heart belongs to you. I sanctify my heart. I sanctify the Lord God in my heart. I am going to be ready to give an answer to everyone asking a reason concerning the hope in me. Lord, I'm going to have meekness. Meekness, Lord, I'm going to depend on your strength to fight this. I'm going to depend on your strength to clear my name. I'm going to depend on what you want to do and how you want to do it. And Lord, I have the reverent fear of you. Having a good conscience. That means I'm not messing up and sinning behind the scenes. I'm not gossiping. I'm not attacking people. I'm not being divisive. I have a good conscience. And I know that to the best that where I'm walking right now, God has not convicted me of something that I'm doing that the enemy's using to cause all the mess. Amen? I'm not blind. I'm not pretending I'm perfect. I just know that as far as everything I've looked at and seen and the best that I know, I am right before God and I've done what he's shown me to do to be right with people. Amen? Having a good conscience that while they speak against you as evildoers, they may be shamed because they falsely accusing your good behavior in Christ. Do you see the power of a testimony? Where you're hanging on to God, you're sanctifying him as the Lord of your heart, you're going to stay meek, you're not going to fight this yourself. How dare you do that? No, you're just going to, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to stay meek. God's going to hear my prayers. And anyone who's falsely accusing my good behavior in Christ, God's going to take care of it. I've watched this happen for years. Amen. For it is better if the will of God wills it to suffer for doing good than doing evil, because even Christ once suffered concerning sins. This is what I told you a minute ago. Even Christ once suffered concerning sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, indeed being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. This is the cross. In which also, going into the spirits in prison, he proclaimed to disobeying ones when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, an ark having been prepared into which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water, which is an antitype now, which saves us as baptism. not a putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who going into heaven is at the right hand of God with the angels and authorities and powers being subjected to him. We don't have time to preach all that, do we? I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God when we can get beyond surface reading it and studying it and let it get into our spirits. Amen? There's so much life in it. It's so much life in it. And he goes, look, and this is what we talked about. When you're walking through it, remember what Jesus did on the cross. Remember how he even died and rose again. He actually went to hell for us. He even went down there after he rose, after he had won the battle, and I got teaching on that. He won it in the 3 hours of darkness when the whole earth was under earthquake. And Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he says, it is finished. On the cross, I believe in those 3 hours of complete darkness, that's when he tasted hell for us. That's what I believe. Otherwise, he couldn't have said it is finished, and then he couldn't have had his spirit go and rend the veil and it be a done work, right? So what did he do under the earth for those days? He went down there, just like it says here, and he talked to those in prison who have been bound up since the days of Noah, and he preached the gospel. There's other scriptures about it too. And he talked about how baptism is not about putting away the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who going into heaven is at the right of God with angels, authorities, and powers being subjected to him. In other words, when I go down in the water, that act is not cleaning my flesh. That's not getting rid of the filth. But when I'm baptized, it is saying that what Jesus Christ did for me is getting rid of my filth. It is declaring that what Christ has paid for, I can now go down and come up and recognize in the spirit realm, I now have a God who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who has all the authority and everything is subjected to him. And I belong to him. Amen? Father, we just thank you, Lord, as this word just sits on people tonight and gets through people's hearts tonight, Lord. And Father, there would just come such an aha moment for people that there'd be like, Lord, I'm going to be led by you to do this. I'm going to be led by you to be one of these people to have this kind of breakthrough, God. I'm going to be a person, Father God, who's going to see good days and love my life. So, Lord, even though I might be misunderstood and I might be persecuted, and Lord, let it not be because of sin in my heart. But, Lord, I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to walk with you in it, and I'm going to watch you, Lord God. And I'm going to be a person to release blessing, and I'm not going to let evil in my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.